invite all the individuals reading the Christmas story to come up now. What we're going to do is going to read the Christmas story as it is given in the Bible. It's taken from Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Sit back and listen, and it's divided into three parts. We'll be having short musical selections between the parts.
This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David.
Said, "Greetings, you are a favored woman. The Lord is with you."
Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean.
"Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found grace and favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end."
Mary asked the angel, "But how can this possibly happen? I'm not yet married, and I have not been with any man."
The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God."
Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant, his handmaiden. May everything you have said about me come true."
And then the angel left her. And so, before the marriage of Mary and Joseph took place, while Mary was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit.
A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said."
Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoiced in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel remember to be merciful, for he made his promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever."
Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months. And they went back to her own home.
Joseph, her fiancé, discovered that Mary was pregnant. He, being a good and righteous man, yet did not want to disgrace her publicly, decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins."
All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet Isaiah, who wrote, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us."
When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, took Mary as his wife, But he did not consummate the marriage with her until her son was born.
Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his wife, who was now obviously pregnant.
Upon reaching Bethlehem, they found no lodging available for them. But the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to the first child, a son. Mary wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger.
That night, there were shepherds standing in the field nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. The angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger."
Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased."
When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph there was the baby lying in the manger, just as the angel had said. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Mary, however, kept all these things in her heart to herself and thought about them often.
8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, Joseph named him Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they came and offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.
At that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel.
Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. A sword will pierce your very soul.
Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God and fasting in prayer.
She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she too began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem.
When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home. This was during the reign of Herod, King Herod, in Judea.
Thank you.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You
child to kill him.
That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken to the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt."
Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead.
When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who are trying to kill the child are dead."
So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee.
So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said, "He will be called a Nazarene." There the child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him.
Thank you for the reading. And, you know, Sheena, even though you say it wasn't a Christmas song, I think it is. But that's what Jesus came here for, to satisfy our thirst, as a deer panted for the water. So do we. And the water of life, the river of life, satisfies us. In a few days, Christmas will come and go. We'll open our gifts, we'll discard the wrappings, we'll discard the trimmings, and all too soon, New Year's will roll around. Today, and for the next few days, we are remembering and celebrating Jesus' arrival here on earth. But if the story ended there, we would be, as the Apostle Paul puts it, more to be pitied than anyone else in the world. But the story doesn't end there. It doesn't end with just the birth, nor the early years of Jesus. Because about 30 years later, as Jesus began his public ministry, he came back to Nazareth and proclaimed the reason for his coming. We read in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21, "Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught them regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come.' He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. 'The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day.'" So through his ministry, through his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy. Jesus came to set men and women free from both physical and spiritual oppression. And that's why we today have a great hope, as we look forward to the future when the prophecy, this prophecy that Jesus read, will be fulfilled in its entirety when Jesus comes again to take us home. There's a Christmas song. Seems like everyone has a Christmas album or Christmas CD out now, including Sesame Street. This was a number of years ago. The very last song is titled, "Keep Christmas With You All Through the Year." And the words read as follows. "When Christmas time is over and presents put away, don't be sad. There'll be so much to treasure about this Christmas day and the fun we've had. So many feelings to celebrate with you. And oh, the good times hurry by so fast. But even when it's over, there's something you can do to make Christmas last. Keep Christmas with you all through the year. When Christmas is over, you can keep it near. Think of this Christmas day when Christmas is far away. Keep Christmas with you all through the year. When Christmas is over, save some Christmas cheer. These precious moments, hold them very dear. And keep Christmas with you all through the year. Christmas means the spirit of giving, peace and joy to you. The goodness of loving, the goodness of living. These are Christmas too. So keep Christmas with you all through the year. When Christmas is over, save some Christmas cheer. These precious moments, hold them very dear. And keep Christmas with you all through the year." Those of us who have accepted and believed on Jesus Christ and have accepted His call have also accepted the responsibility to continue the mission and work that Jesus began. The work of bringing freedom to men and women from the physical and spiritual oppression that keeps them in bondage. We've been given the special mission of proclaiming the full message of Christmas all through the year, and of practically living and bringing that message, of bringing Christmas to those who need to hear and experience hope all through the year. In a few moments, I will be bringing to you the song, "O Holy Night." This song is one of the Christmas classics. It's now more than 150 years old. Yet both its words and its music remain timeless. I think it's so because in just a few verses, it embraces the essence of the Christmas message. That is, of Jesus coming into the darkness of this world to bring us light, freedom, and hope. Listen.
For your new life, you and all your
Let's not forget the reason why you came. And may we keep that in our hearts all through the year. And may we share the blessing of Christmas with everyone. With people whom we come into contact, with our families, with our friends, all through the year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank especially the guests who made time to worship with us this morning. And there's actually plenty of food still left out there. So if you want some lunch, you're welcome to have some. Thank you.